This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Prophets are messengers to the Muslims. Allah sent them to the kuffar. Allah sent them to the non-Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them to the worst of Muslims. To the worst of non-Muslims. Allah sent them to the worst of non-Muslims. So that's what we learn from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're not here to come and hate everyone and declare war against everyone and fight with everyone. We're here to tell people about this great deen. So subhanAllah, when you really think about it, how the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for Amr ibn Hisham, Abu Jahl, and Umar ibn Khattab, the two worst, actually they are the worst two enemies of Islam during that time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the heart of Umar ibn Khattab. He became from the worst of enemies of Islam to the greatest supporters of Islam and the greatest followers of Islam. Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu had a huge impact on him becoming a Muslim. And as I mentioned, the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum say that we did not feel the honor of Islam and the honor and the empowerment of Islam until Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu became Muslim. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says that we felt the honor and we did not feel honor of Islam until Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu became a Muslim. We did not dare to perform tawaf until Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu became a Muslim. And he also said that the Islam of Umar, kana Islam Umar, fathan, the Islam of Umar was an opening, wa hijratuhu nasran, and his migration was a victory, wa imaratuhu rahma, and his leadership was a mercy. And you'll hear many of the great companions talking about the sense of motivation and inspiration after Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu became a Muslim. And Umar ibn Khattab became a Muslim just 3 days after Hamza ibn Abd al-Muttalib. So subhanAllah, they were very close in time with regards of their Islam. And Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was the only companion that dared to migrate openly. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhu migrated from Mecca to Medina, they all migrated secretly and discreetly, including the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr, except Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And that does not mean the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr was scared. That's part of the strategy. Part of the strategy. Sometimes part of the strategy is for you not to be too in the open. It's not cowardice. Or it's not like, wallah, you're not being fearful of Allah Azza wa Jalla. No. Because unfortunately we have this mentality. If you're not loud and you don't scream and you don't shout, you're not speaking the haqq. Sometimes you need to be loud and you need to scream and shout. And sometimes you need to be quiet. And you need to be strategic. You need to be smart. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the hijrah from Mecca to Medina, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhum migrated discreetly. And we mentioned that when we're talking about Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. The only companion that migrated openly and publicly was Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, in his migration, he was the only one that came out in the public in front of the leaders and the chiefs of the people of Quraysh, saying to them, I am migrating right now from Mecca to Medina. And he said, whoever wants their wives to become widows and their children to become orphans, then follow me. Follow me. Yes, that's the bravery that Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu had. But it doesn't mean other companions are not brave. They were brave. But Allah had given Umar Khattab certain strength that others don't have. Umar Khattab physically was strong. And the physical strength and appearance plays a big role. It doesn't mean just because someone is bigger in size, he's more brave than someone smaller in size. No, you could be small in size, a lot more brave than someone big in size. All the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum are brave. Yeah, the bravery maybe differs from one to another. And the bravest one of all, the scholars agree, the bravest companion, obviously our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the bravest, but the bravest companion is who? Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr is the bravest companion. All the scholars say that the bravest companion out of all companions is Abu Bakr. Then Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But Umar Khattab, because he was physically big, and Abu Bakr was not physically big, when you read about the size of Abu Bakr was physically small. He was either medium or less than medium. Umar Khattab was big. And that has an impact in people's impression and people's perceptions. So Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was the early one that came out publicly saying that whoever wants their wives to be widows and their children to be orphans, then follow me behind this mountain. And Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu migrated from Mecca to Medina. And when the rest of the companions saw Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu migrating, a lot of them tagged along with him. They needed someone like Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an. And subhanAllah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses people differently. Allah chooses people differently. So I sense always when you talk about the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, there's always that thought that I want to become the next Umar, which is obviously a great thought. But Umar ibn al-Khattab filled a vacuum the other companions didn't, but other companions filled a vacuum that Umar Khattab didn't. You know, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu is a greater companion than Umar ibn al-Khattab, and that's why the testament of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And both of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used them for different ways, different pathways. Everyone has a role in this deen. I have a role, you have a role. Doesn't matter how big you are, how small you are, how rich you are, or poor you are, how much backing you've got behind you, or no backing. You always have a role in this deen. You have a responsibility. Every single one of us has that responsibility, and every single one of us has that role to play. Umar ibn Khattab's role was probably more prevalent, more exposed, due to his position, his size. He was also vocal, he was loud in his voice. When I say loud, it's not like Dante, he screams and shouts, but you know, people with deeper voices tend to be heard more. Subhanallah, people's nature. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu had those characteristics. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him into this deen to empower Islam and to empower the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though Islam does not need him and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't need him, and nor Allah azza wa jalla needs any of him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need any of them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this world in a cycle. And part of that cycle, Allah created a system. Part of that system, you need to go by the means. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, if Allah wants, if Allah wills, Allah will make everyone a believer. Is that hard? Kun fayakun, everyone, that's it. Allah will say everyone's a believer. Everyone will be a righteous believer. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this system. It's a system. And this system has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put people in a position where there is good, there's bad, there are difficulties, and there's easy pathways. There are good days, there are bad days, there's goodness, there's evilness, there's sins, there's hasanat. This is the system that Allah created, and we deal with that system. That's part of the test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us. And the reason I talk about this is because every single one of us thinks about that. It comes through our minds. But alhamdulillah, the more knowledge and iman that you have is the more that you resist that thought or you deal with that sort of thought. When I say resist, it's like you're dealing with that thought. But unfortunately, we live in a day and age where people can't comprehend that. It's like, why isn't this world just a perfect world? And it's only good, only righteousness, no suffering. This is the test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us through. And especially like what you hear and you see to what's happening to our brothers and sisters in Gaza every single day, that's part of the test, that's part of the system that Allah created. Allah created that system where one day you go during easy days, then the next day you go through hardships, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthens you through hardships into becoming easier, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows the batil sometimes to be ahead of the haqq, and then the haqq ahead of the batil until the haqq destroys the batil. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's system. And we have to accept that that's how it is. And subhanallah, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu has an amazing story different to Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr was there from the very beginning, a great supporter of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam from the very beginning. Umar ibn al-Khattab started to be one of the most hostile companions against the Prophet Muhammad, one of the most hostile people against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then later on became a companion. So Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu embraces Islam, and there subhanallah he becomes the Faruq. And the Faruq is the one that distinguishes between good and bad, حق باطل. And Umar ibn Khattab had that character. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him a deep foresight. He had a deep foresight. A deep foresight, not only in life, which he had that deep foresight, but even in the Sharia, even understanding the deen, even understanding what's good and bad. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given every single human being. It's part of our natural instinct that we know what's good and bad. But some people are deeper. Some people are more profound and more deeper in their understanding of good and bad. But when you come to the reality of it, every single one of us has the ability to distinguish between good and bad. But when it goes to complicated issues or deeper issues, that's when people struggle. Some people struggle to understand the difference between good and bad. Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was amongst those that asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and asked Allah to reveal clear answers on some topics. One of them was about the munafiqeen and the salah of the munafiqeen. And Umar Khattab is the one that asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or Allah reveal a verse with regards of the munafiqeen. Munafiqeen existed during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In our days, when you say a munafiq, the first thing that comes to your mind is someone who's like double standards. A munafiq during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is someone that shows Islam from the outside, but 100% kafir from the inside. So he's a kafir. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the munafiqeen in the lowest, deepest bottom of the hellfire. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, every other companion, they were in the same gatherings as the munafiqeen. Like imagine right now you've got someone sitting over here, okay, shown from the outside, Muhammad or Ahmad. Deep inside is 100% anti-Islam, anti-you. It's very uncomforting. It's not a comfortable thing. Different to a non-Muslim. You've got non-Muslim, don't come and sit here. No, he told you, I'm a non-Muslim. He sits here, normal. That's, I've got no issues with that. But when someone walks in, showing you Islam from the outside, but deep inside he's the first enemy of Islam, that's a big issue. That's a munafiq. And during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the gatherings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there used to be munafiqeen. Literally munafiqeen. You imagine Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali, they are standing and praying, and then they've got this munafiq next to them and this other munafiq there. So Umar ibn Khattab is the one that asked Allah and asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a definitive verse about the munafiqeen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah, استغفر لهم أو لا تستغفر لهم إن تستغفر لهم 70 مرة فلن يغفر الله لهم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking about the munafiqeen, whether you seek forgiveness for them or not forgiveness for them, even if you seek forgiveness 70 times for them, Allah will not forgive them. These are the munafiqeen. Like, munafiq is munafiq. He's not a Muslim. She's not a Muslimah. They don't fit in the circle. But then the issue is, how do you deal with them? If someone shows you Islam from the outside, and they're munafiq deep inside, that's not something that you could really measure. How are you gonna, okay, you're a Muslim, yes, deep inside, I don't like Islam, I'm against Islam, I don't believe, I'm against Allah, against Muhammad. We deal with them as Muslims. Your responsibility is to deal. You can't make that judgment and say, but you're a munafiq. No, ashadu an la ilaha illallah rasulullah. You deal with this person as a Muslim. But in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had an advantage, of course. And his advantage is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, exposed the munafiqeen to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the munafiqeen. And you know, talking about this, like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the list of munafiqeen. And you know some sahaba like Abu Bakr and Umar and other companions used to go and ask, are we on that list? Like, subhanallah. Then take it in a negative way. Take it in being very, very extra cautious in making sure that I don't want to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way, in any form, in any shape. Because one of the diseases of the heart when you become too complacent or too comfortable. Alhamdulillah, I'm proud. I'm very proud to be a practicing Muslim, and I'm very proud to be someone who prays. He prays on time, gets up for Fajr, comes to the masjid, puts time and effort. But I should never ever feel comfortable that I'm doing enough, or feel comfortable that, you know, that's it, I've already, you know, passed, already passed the test. No, I should always be cautious. I should always be on my toes, making sure that I please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to send a definitive ayah with regards of alcohol. Alcohol, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid that later on. But it was a time where the Sahaba were drinking alcohol and praying. They were drinking alcohol and praying. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a verse where alcohol is completely haram. You don't go near it. فَاجْتَنِبُوا. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu was one of those companions. He constantly asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked Allah to reveal a verse that's definitive, which we want a clear, solid answer here. Not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the Quran didn't have a solid answer. Allah revealed the Quran al-Karim gradually. The Quran al-Karim didn't come down all at once. So it's not like, okay, it wasn't clear and then became clear. No, no, that was part of the process. Part of the process that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran al-Karim gradually. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu was one of those deep foresight thinkers who wanted a definitive answer on these, which shows his depth of his understanding of the deen. And subhanAllah, this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants some people over others. Everyone has it, but some people are more advanced than others. Some people are deeper thinkers than others. And after the Islam of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Umar ibn Khattab was recognized to be a very, very exceptionally close companion to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As I mentioned, there were hundreds of Sahaba at the beginning, then thousands. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away and there were over 100,000 companion, over 100,000 companion. Just the Hajjat al-Wada' Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had 124,000 people at Hajjat al-Wada'. So you could imagine Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had over 120,000 companions. But not all of them were close to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And leaders in general, they are very selective who they get very close to their circle. And when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allows someone like Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu in a very, very tight circle, that's an indication, that's a clear indication from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the credibility of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. And the closest people to the circle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were Abu Bakr and Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So much so that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum will constantly say that we always said it's the Prophet Abu Bakr and Umar that came, it's the Prophet and Abu Bakr and Umar that went, it's the Prophet and Abu Bakr and Umar that did, it's a prophet, the Prophet and Abu Bakr and Umar that said. Subhanallah, that was the closest circle to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abu Bakr and Umar. So much so that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam grabbed the hand of Abu Bakr one day and Umar ibn Khattab one day. He put him up and he said, we'll be resurrected like this in the hereafter. We'll be resurrected like this in the hereafter. Umar ibn Khattab is a great companion, and it is completely refuted when you have some groups who are trying to undermine the companionship of Umar ibn Khattab. And when they say that Umar ibn Khattab was a bad companion, to me that's not only an insult to Umar ibn Khattab, that's a bigger insult to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because if Umar ibn Khattab and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhum were bad companions, then you are criticizing the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for allowing bad companions to be in his inner circle. So the blame goes back to their leader Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not to Abu Bakr and Umar. If Abu Bakr and Umar were bad people, then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not fit to be a leader. Because as a leader, how do you allow bad people in your circle? Where's your leadership? So it's a disgrace and it's an insult to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam before that it's an insult to Umar and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Like these days, you come to me as a sheikh and you imagine I'm hanging out with a bunch of crooks. Me as a sheikh, an ordinary. And my best mates are crooks. Like you're going to turn around and say, look, what are you hanging out with these people? And you give them authority? Come on. Like, and I'm talking about a very small level here. Are we trying to say that, Ya Rasulullah, you had a bunch of crooks around you and a bunch of, you know, bad companions that you've given authority? That's not just undermining Abu Bakr and Umar. That's undermining the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And I remember debating this with one person, but Umar Khattab used to intimidate the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Umar ibn Khattab is to intimidate the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If that's the case, I'm sorry, he's not worthy to be followed as a prophet. If someone like Umar could put on the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then I'm sorry, he's not worthy to be a leader. Like again, it's an insult. It's an insult for someone to say that Umar ibn Khattab used to intimidate the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that's why the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never used to say anything to him. Then what kind of a leader is that? Like what kind of a leader that we are following? A weak leader? Wal'iyadu billah. We are talking about the greatest man, the bravest man ever tread this earth, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's not going to be intimidated by Umar and 1,000,000,000 Umar. He's not going to be intimidated by them. He's a leader. And if Umar and Abu Bakr were corrupt, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not even allow them not in the close circle, in the furthest circle to him. So we need to be realistic when we talk about those issues, just out of logic. Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and with Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, they were one of the closest and they were the most closest people to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So much so that the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam said that if Allah wanted to choose a prophet after me, it would have been Umar ibn Khattab. Like what a testimony. Testimony from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam also says that I saw in my dream that I had a cup of milk and I drank that milk and there were leftover milk in that, so I gave it to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying that I saw in my dream that I was drinking a cup of milk and I left some that I passed it on to Umar ibn Khattab. You need to know one thing about prophets and messengers. You need to know one thing. I saw myself in the dream yesterday. I was traveling somewhere in Asia. You probably saw yourself in the moon. You probably saw another person that you're talking to, an animal turns into a human being. Prophets and messengers don't see dreams like that. Prophets and messengers only have one dream, only one dream. And that's a revelation from Allah. Whatever they see in the dream, it's a message from Allah to them. That's it. They do not see foolish dreams. They don't see. It's either a message from Allah or nothing. That's the rule. And that's why when Ibrahim alayhi salam saw himself slaughtering his son, like I'm sorry, you probably see yourself bashing your son every single day in the dream, especially when they give you a hard time. When Ibrahim alayhi salam saw himself slaughtering his son in the dream, what did he do the next day? He took his son to slaughter him. Why? That's it. That's an order from Allah azza wa jal. Okay, but other people see themselves doing those things doesn't mean you go and do that the next day. Prophets and messengers only see a revelation in their dream. They do not see anything else. So when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that I saw in my dream that I was drinking milk, and then I passed on leftover milk in that cup to Umar ibn Khattab, the Sahaba straight away said, what's the meaning of that dream? There's got to be a meaning, because dreams do have meaning, but not all dreams for you and I. For the prophets and messengers, all dreams have meanings. For you and I, some dreams have meanings and some dreams are meaningless. They have no meaning at all. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, I saw in a dream that I was drinking a cup of milk, then I passed on some of that milk to Umar ibn Khattab. They said, O Messenger of Allah, what did you interpret that to be? Sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, knowledge. Knowledge. Subhanallah. Knowledge. This is another testimony from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the knowledge of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu had this love. But when I say this love, we all love Allah and we all love the Messenger of Allah. There's no doubt every single Muslim loves Allah and loves the Messenger of Allah. But there's something about Umar ibn Khattab that one day, when he heard the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that none of you will become a true believer until I, the Messenger of Allah, become more beloved to them than their parents, their children, and the entire world. Umar ibn Khattab came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said to him, O Messenger of Allah, by Allah, you are the most beloved human being to me, more than my parents, more than my children, more than every single human being, except myself. Because in the hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also says that in another narration, none of you will become a true believer until I become more beloved to them than their children, than their parents, than everyone else, including themselves. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says to him, O Messenger of Allah, by Allah, you are the most beloved human being to me, more than my parents, more than my children, more than every single human being except myself. And subhanAllah, even if it's not true, you can't say that to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You'll say to him, Ya Rasulullah, I love you more than everyone, even myself. Even if it's not true. You would not dare to say that to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Sometimes you tell people that you love them when you hate them. SubhanAllah. Umar Khattab was very direct. Ya Rasulullah, by Allah, I love you more than my parents, more than my children, more than my friends, more than the entire world except myself. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with this in straightforwardness. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said to him, O Umar ibn al-Khattab, by Allah, you are not a complete mu'min, believer, until I, the Messenger of Allah, become more beloved to you than yourself. At that moment, Umar al-Khattab stopped for 1 second. He looked at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Messenger of Allah, right now, you are more beloved to me than myself. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and right now, I would say you're a complete mu'min. If the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that to Umar ibn al-Khattab, then what does that mean? He is a complete mu'min. A strong, real, true mu'min. This is the testament of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alayhi salatu wa sallam. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu was also praised by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as someone who is determined for the haqq and determined in following the haqq. So much so that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Umar, if you were to take one path, the shaitan will take another path. Look, when you hear of that and you analyze it, it's just, subhanAllah, amazing to hear the determination and steadfastness of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an. O Umar, if you were to take one path, the shaitan will take another path. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an. So this is a companion who was so close to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam entrusted him with so many secrets and trusts and relied on him. And for that reason, when Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was on his deathbed, he nominated Umar, no one else, Umar. And for someone like Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu to make that nomination on his deathbed, it shows the unconditional confidence that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu had in Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu is this companion that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also praises and says, in every nation in the past, there were muhaddithun. And muhaddithun means scholars, speakers, or people who narrate. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and the muhaddith of this nation is Umar ibn al-Khattab. Subhanallah. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the one that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had guaranteed the Jannah not once, not twice, multiple times. Many times the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had guaranteed Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu the Jannah. And when Amr ibn al-As came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked him, O Messenger of Allah, who are the most beloved people to you? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, Aisha, he said, O Messenger of Allah, I'm not asking about women, I'm talking about men. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, her father, Abu Bakr. Then he said, O Messenger of Allah, then who do you love after Abu Bakr? And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Umar. Subhanallah, the love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for Abu Bakr first, and for Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an. This is the testament that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that led the way for him to be the second Khalifa after Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us to be from amongst those who listen and hear, act upon what they listen and hear. Inshallah, next week we're going to delve into the Khilafah of Umar ibn al-Khattab and get an understanding of what Umar al-Khattab had achieved in 10 years and why he had achieved civilizations that had existed for 100 years did not achieve. It's Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the second greatest companion after Abu Bakr, the most loved companion to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after Abu Bakr, and the one the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if Allah wanted to choose a prophet after me, would have been Umar. Subhanakallahu bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.